From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast to the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Well, it might not be a sunny morning, but it's still Saratoga, and that's where the Equine Forum emanates from today. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Welcome to the Equine Forum. I'm filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Down in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios is the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. And like I said, this edition, like a few this summer, emanates from Section B here at Saratoga Racecourse. Of course, this Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. Come on by Section B, the black and gold, black and yellow, if you will. HRN banner hanging right up front. You can't miss the banner. You can't miss me, even though Mark Cassie already walked by me and said, I didn't see you there, Big A. I had encouraged him to maybe go check an optometrist, maybe a pair of glasses, all set. What's happening, Jude? Good morning.
Good morning. Everything's cool here in Lexington. Blue skies and a few smatterings of clouds here and there, but a lovely day, actually.
There's no smattering of clouds here. The Baron would be pleased. It is one big swipe of Battleship Gray right now. So, we've had some rain overnight. If you're playing the card here at Saratoga today, the first and third races are already off the turf. I didn't think we got that much rain, but I've been sleeping pretty good up here, so I must have slept through it. I do know we had a thunderstorm alert at about 2 in the morning. I guess that came to fruition because first and third are off the turf. The main track looks really in great shape to me right now, and these turf courses had been pretty firm, but I guess they're going to err on the side of caution with the Lake Placid and the Smart and Fancy, each being run later on, a couple of stakes on this card. So off the turf for the first and third, and again, those races up here, the two-year-old races, and we're supposed to have a couple of nice two-year-olds in today, which we'll talk about a little later on in the program. The two-year-old races going that are scheduled for a mile and a 16th on the turf get cut back to 7 furlongs. So, that's the scene up here at the spa. Supposed to have some showers on and off, some thunderstorms on and off throughout the day today. Hopefully they stay away for the stakes. And, of course, Saturdays at Saratoga presented by Visit Barbados.org rolls on this afternoon from 5 to 6 over on Sirius XM 156. Of course, it streams live at horseracingradio.net. Mike Beer and I will have that Lake Placid and the Alabama. We'll stay with it through the end of the Alabama, which is set to go off at 5:59. But we start to look towards the end of the rainbow when it comes to Saratoga, Jude, Alabama this week, Travers next week, and then before you know it, the Woodward will be here, and we'll all be going home.
Yeah, it's really been kind of a quick meet. You just blink your eyes and it's over with. But it's been kind of an odd meet, too, with the weather and the way the races have panned out. Not your typical Saratoga.
No. And while the attention, of course, is always at Saratoga, as there's a grade one each of the 8 Saturdays we are here in 2019. We'll take a look out west today as well. Del Mar has their big day of this summer meet as the Pacific Classic will go post day, evening, if you will. 9:30 Eastern time is post time. I've watched the last 3 Pacific Classics, I believe, at Novae with Larry. Michelle's been here. And they have five stakes on that card, a couple of grade ones, the Pacific Classic and the Del Mar Oaks.
Yeah, it's a very good card at Del Mar. outstanding, really. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to take place, if you're on the East Coast, well into the night. I think post time for the last race is 9 o'clock Eastern time. So
no, it's the Pacific Classic is 9:30. I think the last race post for the is like 10:15.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, the last race goes at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
9:30 for the Pacific Classic. So, it's all day and all night.
Yes. Right into the evening. And again, a lot of great stakes action at both Saratoga and out at Del Mar today as the summer rolls on. And like you said, kind of a quick meet. Good Alabama today. I think this race shapes up, and as you would imagine, this show is a lot Alabama and a lot of Pacific Classic day. Jose Ortiz, was able to catch up with him yesterday. I think I actually just saw him go by, which is why he could not join us on set. He was on horse. A little more important for his career, I believe, to be on horse as opposed to on set with me. Jose caught up with him yesterday. He's the leading rider right now here at Saratoga, trying to stave off his brother Arad, who won the title last year. Jose's in all three stakes today, has live mounts in all three stakes. I think his highest morning line is 7-2, and he's won the last two Alabamas. He'll talk to us. He talked to us yesterday. We'll hear from him in the program. Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, is my housemate up here. You also know him as the voice of Naira, the Triple Crown, and the Breeders' Cup, Larry Comas. And then we'll talk a lot of Del Mar in the second half. Dallas Stewart, nice enough to join us live from Seeking the Souls Barn out where the turf meets the surf. He'll saddle Seeking the Souls. Should be the favorite in that Pacific Classic later on today. The Executive Vice President of Racing and Industry Relations, Tom Robbins from Del Mar, will join us a little later on. And right here on site next to me, I know someone you know since he's in a stroller, Jude, Lafitte Pinkai.
LP3.
Who's spending his first full summer. Yeah, LP3, spending his first full summer here at Saratoga as an analyst for the New York Racing Association and a host.
Yeah, he's a great guy and very knowledgeable. One of the best broadcasters we have in racing. So you're very fortunate to be spending the morning with LP3.
Yeah, looking forward to having Lafitte up here on set a little later on. We also have the Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales, and Jude and I will talk a little bit more about that Alabama Stakes later on. Fantastic day of racing across the country. We'll keep the poll question today. We skipped it last week. There was way too much going on last week. But we have kind of a relaxed first hour today. So we're going to give you a poll question. We'll read some of your comments on air a little bit later on. Who do we think is going to win the Pacific Classic? Now, you have about 13 and a half hours before you have to wager on the Pacific Classic, so we won't hold you to your selection. But who do you think is going to win the Pacific Classic? It's that simple. Tweet us at HRRN on Twitter, and we will we'll read some of your responses on the air. I have a real opinion in that Pacific Classic. When we did the weekend stakes preview last night presented by Naira Betts, I had quite a few opinions on the weekend stakes. And could have made four or five horses the best bet, but I only did one. Rudy Rodriguez, Rudy Rodriguez and the Imperios driving by, very happy there. Elma J. Fudd won the last yesterday. Larry had a great time calling that one, and we'll talk to Larry about that call later on. But I could have made three or four, even five horses the best bet last night. So I'm either going to make a lot or lose a lot of money today, Jude.
Well, let's hope it's make.
Yes.
Can't afford to lose.
No. Well, there's been enough of that up here this meet. Well, way too much losing so far. I've had my fill, my share of losing, to quote the great Frank Sinatra from My Way. Mm-hmm. So, let's try and turn it around on a fantastic day of racing. We'll get this program started. Jose Ortiz, he'll pilot the morning line favorite, Dunbar Road, in the Grade 1 Alabama later on today here at the Spa. You'll hear it on Saturdays in Saratoga. He's looking for his third consecutive Alabama And we'll hear his thoughts on the Alabama, the other stakes, and Saratoga in general when we come back. Listening to the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-Mesh and Incline Fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's grade one Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating grade one winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're into the stretch, and Elate has taken the lead. It is Elate coming to the final furlong in the Alabama, putting away It Is Well. Salty runs through an opening on the inside, up into third, Lockdown is fourth, and then Actress on the outside, but Elate is clear. Elate has moved away to a four-length lead in mid-stretch. It Is Well clings to second, and then it's Salty. Elate has won the Alabama. A strong win here by 5.5 lengths. It was close for second between It Is Well and Salty, and then came Actress in a final time of 2:02.19.
Back in 2017, Elate rolled home here at the Old Spa, galloping winner of Alabama 2 years ago. Jose Ortiz will look for his third this afternoon when he rides Dunbar Road, the favorite in the Alabama. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Yesterday afternoon, in the midst of a busy day here at the Spa, the leading rider with 13 racing days to go, Jose Ortiz, was nice enough to sit down with us for a few minutes, talk about the Alabama and the Saratoga meet in general. All right, with just about 2.5 weeks left in the 2019 Saratoga meet, we are here with leading rider Jose Ortiz. He's won the last two Alabamas. He's going to gun for his third later on this afternoon with Dunbar Road. Jose, thanks for some time.
Hey, Anthony, how are you? Thank you for having me.
All right, doing well. Let's talk about Dunbar Road a little bit. You've ridden her a few times now, a couple of big efforts. Last time out, talk me through that trip in the Mother Goose. It wasn't the easiest of trips, yet she won very impressively.
Yeah, it wasn't easy because everybody kind of knew that they had to beat her. So it was a very, very slow pace, and I broke from the inside. So I was kind of boxed him the whole way. But passing the 516 pole, I knew, I just need a little chance to push somebody a little bit to the outside. And as soon as I had cleared, I got a blue by this. And that's what she did.
Broke from the inside last time. Rail draw again in the Alabama. Does that concern you at all?
No, I'm very happy. Actually, Belmont different. It's one turn. Here it's two turns, a mile and a quarter. So I'm very happy. Save some ground the first turn, and then half of the other turn probably save some ground also, and just take it easy. Be patient, and whenever I'm ready, I'm going to make my move.
You mentioned a little traffic last time when you broke from the rail. Again, the rail draw, like we said. Where do you envision her early on in the race? Do you think she's going to be closer because of the stretch out and distance because of the two turns?
I think she'll be sitting four, maybe four on the inside, saving ground. I think as Musing and another horse in the outside got some speed, maybe somebody else go and beat third in the outside. I'm just sitting chilly probably in the second flight.
You won it 2 years ago with a late. You won it last year with Eskimo Kisses. Kind of different fillies. Does she remind you of either of those two fillies?
Well, a little bit of a late. They are very similar to Rye. A little tactical, close to the pace. Two big fillies that like the distance. I think Dunbar Road is kind of like the mile and a quarter. She haven't been tested yet, but I think, my feeling tell me that she will like it.
You also ride Chad Brown's other Grade One filly, 3-year-old in the barn, Guarana. What are the similarities, the differences between Dunbar Road and Guarana?
Well, Guarana is a little bit more aggressive. Dunbar Road a little bit more laid back. That's what I think. Dunbar Road is kind of like the mile and a quarter. Guarana, I don't think she would get it. But she haven't done anything wrong. She has done everything we asked for. She just run three times and we won two Grade Ones. So, that's pretty amazing. And I'm very happy. I think Chad is doing the right things, keeping the Alabama and going straight to the Cotillion.
Point of Honor came close to getting Guarana last time in the coaching club American Oaks. Got very close to Guarana, like I said. You think she's the filly that you fear the most tomorrow when it comes to the Alabama?
Yeah, I think she's clearly a second choice. Last time she was closing, but remember, she's way more seasoned than Guarana. She run as a 2-year-old, and then she started early on the year at Tampa. I think she won a race in Tampa, if I'm not mistaken. But she's way more seasoned than Guarana. Guarana just had two races. That's what I think. Probably she was getting close to her late. That's one of the reasons we, Chad, I think, decided to not force Guarana to go mile and a quarter. And then we have Dunbar Road that we think that she's going to handle the distance pretty well. I think we're sitting, I think, on the best horse. So I'm very confident.
Talking to Jose Ortiz, he has Dunbar Road looking for three Alabamas in a row later on at the Spa. Two other stakes on the card. Blowout for Chad Brown, the race before the Alabama. Talk about her in the Lake Placid. Last time, that was a weird race at Lake George. Three in there, all three chained by Chad. She was on the lead that day. What do you think about her chances in the Lake Placid?
I think we have a very good shot. I just wish she relaxed a little bit. Last time she went easy, but I felt like she was kind of on the beat the whole way. She never kind of dropped it. It was a weird race. The three horses trained by Chad, and somebody had to go. And I broke good, and I went. And, she just got beat. But I think it's not an easy race also. I also rode Barenka last time. I think she's a very nice filly. I think the Chad has another one.
Regal Glory, who won the Lake George.
Exactly, Regal Glory beat me last time. So it's not an easy race, but I would like to see Blowout to relax a little bit, and I think we have a good shot to win.
race before the Lake Placid Fire Key, and the all three races, all three stakes tomorrow for the fillies. Fire Key, she just always shows up with a good race, huh?
Yeah, she's doing so good, and I mean, it's a horse that I really like to ride, and I'm very happy that she's doing so good for Jimmy, man. Jimmy is he's been doing a long time. He knows what he's doing. He don't get too much opportunity to train this kind, but I mean, since he got her, she's been doing really good, and she had gave us 100% every time she stepped at the track, and I'm very happy about it, and I hope I win it for the horse, but mainly for Jimmy. I really like Jimmy Ryerson.
Yeah, trainer Jimmy Ryerson does a great job. Got about a dozen days left in the meet. You're in front of your brother Arad right now. How important is it for you to win the title up here?
It's very important. Ira got it last year. I mean, it's not easy to win it. It's just
long days up here, huh?
Very long, very long. Long mornings, and then throughout the day is very long. It's tiring, but now we have a cushion with the 2 days off. I think it make it better. But like I say, it's not easy. Mainly last 4 years, it's been a battle between me and Ira. But I mean, we had a very deep colony here, and I mean, any of them can get in a good role and have a great meet. But now look like it's between me and Ira, and I mean, like I say, Ira can get on a roll and win five in a day and make it very interesting. But I mean, I'm gonna keep doing my thing, working hard, man. I'm working harder than ever. I really want to win, to be honest. But if I don't, so it wasn't for me. I mean,
you're not the only one working hard in the family, too. Earlier this week, I saw your wife Taylor getting back on horses. Man, she gonna try and make it tougher for you to win the title next year? Is there a comeback coming, maybe?
No, come back to riding. But yes, in the morning, she's been getting a few for her now, Linda, and I mean, that's she born into horse racing, so that's, I mean, like they say, happy wife, happy life. She's happy doing it, and I mean, I'm happy for her. She's having fun and happy doing what she likes to do. But I don't think she don't want to ride.
He's live in all three stakes on the Alabama card, looking for his third consecutive Alabama. Jose, thank you for some time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Leading rider Jose Ortiz trying to hold off his brother. You know, Jude, we talk about Arad and Jose and Arad. They really took this place by storm, really, in this decade. Arad coming in 2011, Jose following in 2012. And they dominate this circuit. They dominate this meet. And I think his dominance is not on better display than a day like the Alabama Day. Two in a row looking for his third.
Yeah, well, he's very talented. I mean, both of the brothers are just top riders, and they're great guys, and they work as hard as anybody, if not harder. I mean, you see him out at Saratoga every morning, and, you know, you can count on one hand the jocks that are out every morning. I mean, these guys, they never miss, and they're always in a good mood, and, you know, people come up to them, and they may have four or five horses to get on, and somebody will say, hey, can you work this one for me? Yeah, sure. What time? You know? I mean, they're almost like freelance exercise riders. You know, they'll take any mount that comes along, and I just really admire them. They're really very well polished and just classy guys. So, you know, it's good to see them have success because they certainly deserve it.
When I went to go wait, you actually opened Express Bet Radio yesterday because I had to go. The only time, literally the only race Jose had off was the fifth because his horse scratched. He rode the rest of the card, so I ran downstairs to did the jocks room to talk to him, and while I was waiting for him to come out, Johnny Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, and, you know, the guy these guys look up to, both from Puerto Rico, all from Puerto Rico, same hometown, and, you know, Johnny was almost like marveling at them, and I feel like Johnny almost wished he was 20 years younger again.
like these guys are. You know, they're close to 20 years younger than Johnny. And Johnny said, I never seen guys work at this level, work as hard as they do. And they do. I mean, you know, you look at the standings, and right now Jose has a 5-win lead over Arad. They've ridden 178 horses and 167 horses. That's good for tied for first. Jose and Luis Saez have each rode 178 horses, and Arad Ortiz Jr. has ridden 167. That's not what you normally see from the leading riders, that they ride the most horses. They win the most races, but they don't ride the most horses. Jose rode a 16-2 life claimer last Saturday. I know you want to win the meet, but, you know, that's taking it to another level, if you ask me.
Well, that's very Lafitte Pinkai-like to ride, you know, whatever comes along in search of the title. But those guys, you know, they have a love of the game, and they don't really seem to discriminate. They're not one of the attitude that, you know, I got to ride just the best horses or whatever. I mean, they're out there doing their thing every day, and they love it, and they compete against one another and root for one another. I remember one of the first interviews we ever did with them together, and, you know, Jose said, oh, you know, I ride cries a lot when he loses. He always has an excuse why he lost, you know, and Jose kind of laughs at him for that. They're slightly different personalities. They're close in a lot of ways, but Jose takes it more in a relaxed fashion, and Irod's a little bit more intense. But they're both great, and you couldn't put a slice of paper between the two of them. They're just excellent.
Yeah, when I was waiting for Jose in the morning, Irod came walking in full of fire yesterday, banging his program on the wall and yelling to Pito, the security guard at the jocks room, who's like family to the Ortiz brothers. I don't know who he was yelling at, but Irod came in hot as a firecracker yesterday. I went over to calm down. I said to him, do you need me to beat somebody up? And he started laughing right away. No, I'm okay, Big A. I said, all right, you let me know. But, yeah, they're very, very passionate, and they're great at what they do. And, you know, they're deserving to be where they are as hard as they work, and they're really slugging it out here. You know, like Jose said, any one of these riders can go on one of these runs, right? We've seen it plenty. We've seen Luis Saez. Now, it's a little different because it's down at Gulfstream Park, but we've seen Luis Saez win 20 races in 2 weeks. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility to see, you know, in all likelihood, it would be a rod to rip off one of these 5-win days, and then the next thing you know, it's close to tied.
Yeah, no, it certainly can happen, and you know, he's right too. And almost any of the top riders in the room could do that. I mean, even though Johnny V doesn't ride nearly as many horses as those guys do, I mean, he's capable of winning, you know, 5 in a day or you know, 20 in 2 weeks. And Javier Castellano, the same thing. We've seen Jose Lescano go on an absolute tear. So there's a lot of competition there, and you know, you have to pay attention to everybody. So it's no rest during the meet. If you want to be the leading rider, you got to go out, do the work, and hopefully it pans out for you.
They're riding with a couple of legends. Maybe they'll become legends one day. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
On Saturday, July 16, 1965, nearly 60,000 racing fans gathered at Hollywood Park for the running of the Gold Cup over 10 furlongs on a superbly conditioned racing strip under a brilliant sun and a robin's egg blue sky. Most had come out to see if Native Diver, the six-year-old homebred, would already become a local folk hero, could win yet another big one. In his two previous starts, a Native Diver had beaten Viking Spirit by a neck at level weights and world record equaling time of 120 flat for 7 furlongs in the Los Angeles Handicap, and had trounced a strong field in a 9-furlong American Handicap after being rested for 6 weeks. Swaps, the legendary Ellsworth hero, had been considered the best homegrown up until now, but native diver was pressing that reputation in no uncertain terms. He had had 21 stakes wins all in California and had earned over $400,000. In the field of challengers in this Gold Cup were the likes of Tronado, Meadowbrook Farm's solid performer, Ramon from the Foxcatcher Farm, and Ralph Lowe's Gogger. Native diver was the high weight, packing an impost of 124, including regular rider Jerry Lambert. As the gate sprung open at the head of the stretch, Lambert gunned the native driver to the front with a terrific burst of speed, and by the time they came by the stands for the first time, native diver was six in front on the way to clocking a 22-1 first quarter. He continued setting all the fractions on an easy lead through the clubhouse turn and posted a fairly swift 44-2 for the first half. As the field straightened out for the long run down the backside, Lambert gave him a little bit of a breather, and two horses, Romant and Tronado, closed some ground until they were within 2.5 lengths of the leader. Native diver had that margin at the three quarters, which had been turning a very quick 108-4. He increased his lead as they went on down around the turn and was still four in front as they swung to the top of the stretch. The mile had gone in 134-1. Gogger had been rolling from far back and was within striking distance with two furlongs to the wire. Native diver had enough left to run the final quarter in 25 flat and increased his margin slightly to wind up a clear and decisive five-length winner. The final time for the mile and a quarter was 2:01, which equaled the legendary Kayak the Second's mark. Owner L. K. Shapiro was absolutely thrilled with the win, because it was the first time one of his horses had won a $100,000 race, the first time he'd won at 10 furlongs, and the first time he'd won an American Classic race at that distance with top weight. To add to the luster of this outstanding thoroughbred, he came back to win the Gold Cup again the very next year while packing 126 pounds an even faster time, 2 minutes flat. The pièce de résistance and the crowning glory was a third straight win in the Gold Cup at the age of 8 in a phenomenal time of 158-4. With the latter score, native diver reached the hallowed plateau of being a million-dollar earner on the racetrack. You see, my friends, like fine wines, this extraordinarily fine Californian native diver had become better with age.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Power.
Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there, coming to the 16th pull. Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132-4, posting a 108 buyer speed figure, a half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Now, Luis Saez asking more from Regal Glory. She's trying to make a run on the outside, and they're into the stretch with Blowout the Leader. Regal Glory comes up on the outside, and down toward the inside, it's Dog Tag. Regal Glory, Blowout, and Dog Tag. These three arrive at the eighth pole together. Regal Glory on the outside to the front. Blowout tries to battle back on the inside. Dog Tag third. They're coming down to the line. And it's Regal Glory in the Lake George, a half a length on the wire. Blowout was second, and Dog Tag was third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. It's Alabama Day. It's a Pacific Classic Day, but there's an awful lot of stakes action being run at those two venues and across the country and north of the border. They wrap up the Triple Crown in Canada today, Jude, with the Breeders. I love the Canadian Triple Crown. I really do. I love the fact that they pattern one thing after ours, and that's the distances, right? A mile and a quarter, a mile and three-sixteenths, and a mile and a half. But I love the fact that it's on three different services, because as hard as it is to win our Triple Crown, man, that's got to be a tough row to hoe to win it up there. No horse has done it on the three different surfaces.
Yeah, well, it's only recently been run on the three different surfaces, but it is a great test. I mean, if you win the Canadian Triple Crown these days, you are just a versatile, useful, talented, whatever word you want to use, racehorse. I think it's awesome. I agree with you. I love the concept of it, and it really stamps a horse as a special animal if they can do that.
The Beast of the Breeders doesn't sound as good as the Beast of the Belmont, though.
Well, you're just used to the Beast of the
Belmont.
That's
the problem.
Beast of the Breeders is fine.
I really like a horse. If I was Canadian, it would be fine. Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I really like that horse I picked in there today, Rising Star. I think Mike DiPaolo is one of the leading trainers up at Woodbine year in and year out. I think he had this race in mind when he claimed this horse for $40,000 last spring in April at Oakland. I really do.
Well, it's
he's going to be a huge price too.
Yeah, I mean he's an interesting horse. You know, they claimed him off Fox Hill Farms, who always has nice horses. He was originally a $325,000 Keeneland September yearling in 2017, and just kind of treading water. Early on in his career, went through a couple of good trainers in Mark Cassie and Larry Jones, and they didn't seem to be able to get anything done with him. He was just kind of floating through life, and then Mike DiPaolo got him and trained him up. And I think the improvement was noticeable right off the bat. Whatever he had in mind, even though that he took him back to Woodbine and ran him on the Pauly, which he'd kind of or Tapita, I guess it is now, run nondescript on, but he finished third in the plate trial, and then he came back in the Queen's Plate, might have been a little overmatched, maiden against winners and all that stuff, and then he broke his maiden on the grass, first time turf, and I mean he ran an entirely different race. Now the race was slow by the rest of the horses standard in here. He didn't get that great of a speed figure or anything, but, you know, that's a step in the right direction to win that easily on the grass, your first-time grass effort. I think that certainly indicates that the horse may have found a home on the turf, and whether he's good enough or not is going to be the question, because He's certainly in as good a form as he's ever been in.
And I don't think his pedigree, I know they don't do it until they try it, but the mile and a half should be just fine for him.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to bother him, especially with his running
style.
Who
do you like in that race?
I went with Tone Broke. I liked Tone Broke in the Queen's Plate. He ran pretty good. I wasn't really thrilled with the ride he got that day. And then he came back and won the Prince of Wales so easily at 5-1. I couldn't believe the price that day. And, as I said on the Stakes preview show, Avey's Flatter isn't very generous in the stretch. He's a horse that, oftentimes makes the lead at the eighth pole, but doesn't always finish it out. And I don't know if a mile and a half is really going to be up his alley. So I just figured I would go back with Tone Broke. I've been loyal to him in the Triple Crown, and I'm not going to jump off the train now.
All right. Well, that's North of the Border as they wrap up their Triple Crown. Should be a fun renewal of the breeders. It'll be real fun if Rising Star gets there at 12-1 or so. I would think it's the funnest race of the day if he wins at 12-1, if I'm being completely honest with everyone.
We like any 12-1 shot, no matter where they run.
We do. We absolutely do. We'll talk Pacific Classic with Tom Robbins and Dallas Stewart a little later on in the program. We have a couple of Breeders' Cup winners running today. Jay Walk's going to run at Monmouth. Stormy Liberal's back in the Green Flash at Del Mar, 5 furlongs. You and I spent a good deal of time talking about this race last night for a field of 6 that contains a 2-time Breeders' Cup winner in Stormy Liberal and a horse for the course in Eddie Haskell, who's 6-for-7 at Del Mar in his career. This is an interesting race for just a field of 6.
Yeah, I mean, it's talented, and there's a ton of speed in here. I think that's the main thing is the pace scenario is looking like it's going to be pretty fast early, and I don't know if the speed horses are going to be able to sustain their runs after being softened up by one another. I think we're both in agreement that Stormy Liberal should get the best trip right behind the early pace setters and not too far away, because he's certainly not a slow horse by any stretch of the imagination. But undrafted, the old geezer, 9 years old, $1.5 million in earnings, and he's been in really good form this year. I think the races that he's run have been excellent. Even his last race of the year, last year that he won at Churchill Downs on the yielding surface was really good, and his 2 races this year have been excellent. He shortens up a little bit to 5 furlongs. He's won going 5 furlongs, so not impossible, but the pace is going to be fast, and he's going to be flying at the end. So it's a really interesting race, and a race where I don't think you can dismiss anybody that's in here, really.
Yeah, it's one of those races where anybody can win. I hate those because those are the days when I hit the all button in a race like that, Stormy Liberal wins by 8.
Yeah.
And pays 420. It's amazing how that seems to work. Obviously, it doesn't always work that way, but certainly how it seems to work. The Del Mar Oaks is wide open. The other grade one on the card out at Del Mar later on this afternoon, they'll run that at about 8:30 tonight. Got a big field of 14 3-year-old fillies. Going to chase the grade one, the elusive grade one, if you will. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they're all chasing their first grade one win. Which, of course, for the fillies is, for any horse, it's important. But for the fillies, it's super, super important. That's as wide open a grade one as you're going to see.
Yeah. There's a lot of nice fillies in here, a lot of fillies with talent. The pace scenario should be fair. There's speed, there's pressers, there's closers, and it's just going to be probably a lot of trip, and so jocks are going to be important. That's why I went with Cambier Park, because Johnny Velasquez is on her. You know, she's a Chad Brown. She's got the top turf figure in the field. So she has some things to like about her. Her price isn't great in the 14-horse field. I think she's 5-2 or something. But, you know, the Euro Invader Hidden Message, she drew a terrible post. She's in the 14 hole, but she's got Flavien Prat, and she's got some good form. I don't know. I mean, you couldn't really knock anybody for their selection in here. There's a lot of horses. It's going to be like tiers, you know. There's going to be like three or four that are going to get most of the betting action, then some horses in the middle that some people may like, and then the outsiders. But if you can find the right horse in here, you can make some money.
Yeah, I have that rule at 6-1 where I won't talk anybody off a horse. I can't imagine many of them are going to be below 6-1 in there. So it automatically precludes me from trying to talk you off a selection, even if I despise the horse in under these circumstances. But, yeah, one of those races, you should be able to find your price. Whether it's right or not, that's up to them to decide. But, yeah, you should be able to find whatever kind of price you're looking for on your horse. It should be available to you in that Del Mar Oaks. Any other races you want to talk about, Jude?
Well, you know, I the last race at Del Mar, I know it's not a stakes, but the last race at Del Mar, I think, is pretty interesting.
I'm sure people would love to hear that because, if I'm not mistaken, that will wrap up the pick four. Yeah, so the 50-cent late pick four is the Torrey Pines and the Del Mar Oaks and the Pacific Classic. You can get all of those selections on the Weekend Stakes Preview podcast. And then Jude's going to lay on one of the last, I guess.
Yeah, this filly, Betty F., she has 103 racing post rating. That's good enough to win a grade three. She's getting Lasix for the first time. It looks like maybe that's going to make a difference to her because her last two races have been kind of so-so. She's finished sixth in both of them, beaten 3.5 lengths with Frankie Dettori in the saddle. So I think they may have shipped her over here. She's a daughter of Frankel, which you got to like. She's out of an Invincible Spirit mare, so she's got the pedigree. She's a homebred for the owner, Mr. Charles Fox, and Patty Gallagher trains her, but she blew out in 47 at Del Mar August the 11th. I really like that. Patty's a guy that you can time his workouts with a calendar, not a stopwatch. So for this filly to pop off with a 47, she must be really sharp. Drayden Van Dyke is riding her, you know, he's done well on the Del Mar turf course. So I think she's got a big chance. I think she's like 5 or 6-1. And the other filly that I like in there is Lucky Peridot, number 10. Flavien Prat sticks with her. She won a race by 14 lengths. On the dirt, she's interesting. Her first two starts were on the grass going 5-8. She ran third in both of those. They put her on the dirt and stretched her out. She won by 14. She came back on the dirt in allowance, finished third, beaten 10, but I really think she might be better on the turf, despite the fact that she's won on the dirt, and now she's capable of running a distance of ground. So I think she's an interesting play as well, but I really like Betty F.
All right, so there's Jude Lanyon, one in the last leg of that pick four, the late pick four at Del Mar today. It wraps up about 10 o'clock tonight. If you're here on the East Coast, let's take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. It's the one and only Larry Colmus. You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Attention Kentucky breads. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky breads compete for huge purses. Kentucky breads will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. Plus a Breeders' Cup win you're in the turf sprint on September 7th. With additional purse money available for KTDF eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky bread this summer. Visit KentuckyBread.org for details.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreads.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other state breds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassick Tifton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Tuckle is third on the inside as Green Light Go looks good in the Saratoga Special.
Green Light Go, a son of Darley stallion Heartspun, overwhelmed the talented field of two-year-olds to post a 3 3/4 length victory in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special on Saturday, August 10th. Now a perfect 2 for 2, Greenlight Go showed his speed and class in the Saratoga Special, making him the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Hardspun has sired the winners of over 70 stakes, including 10 Grade 1 winners. In addition, he is the only stallion to sire 3 Saratoga Stakes winners this season. A Threat of Blue won the $1 million Saratoga Derby, Lou Cullen captured the Fasig Tipton Lure Stakes, and Greenlight Go in the Saratoga Special. For more information about Hardspun and all the other Darley stallions, go to DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Forever Unbridled has made a bid for the lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Paradise Woods fights on from the inside. Abel Tasman is trying to come on, and here she is on the far outside. Not a late today. It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup distance. Over Abel Tasman, Paradise Woods was third. Elate ends up fourth as John Velasquez picks up the mound, and Forever Unbridled wins for Dallas Stewart in the Longines Breeders' Cup distance.
Larry Comas on the call of the Breeders' Cup distaff back in 2017. Forever Unbridled got the job done. We'll hear from Dallas Stewart, her trainer. He has Seeking the Soul, the morning line favorite in the Del Mar, highlight of the Del Mar meet, the Pacific Classic, later on this afternoon or evening, depending on where you are in the U.S. All right, it is time now for our industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And we want to remind you that Stuart Morris offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales. And this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Yeah! It's track announcer, voice of the Breeders' Cup and the Triple Crown, Larry Comas. Hey, Larry, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning, buddy.
This is already the best interview I've ever done on HRRN.
Why is that?
Well, the Baron's not on it. You know, it's like, you know, it's the greatest thing. I get to talk to you two guys. You know, I don't have to talk to him. It's like perfect.
I mean, it's terrific.
Outstanding.
Good morning, everybody.
He hasn't been. They're somewhere now. I don't know. They're flying the friendly skies or they're eating more pizza. Anyway, how's your Saratoga going?
It's great. As you know, we've had a terrific time up here at the Spa. Big A and I have been housing together throughout the meet, and it's been a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, not just the racing that goes on here, which is second to none, and it's just the entire atmosphere of this place. You just want to be there every day, not just at the track where you see all these people every day with smiles on their faces, but around town, because this is the best city, you know, to spend a couple of months in the summer. Saratoga is happening every single day. There's just so much going on, and just taking it all in and having a blast.
You're one of the few people like the Ortiz brothers that go to work with a smile on their face every day. I mean, you love Saratoga so much, and I know you look forward to it all year long. But you are genuinely excited to go to work and call the races there. And it's great to see somebody enjoy what they do so much.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's a special place. You come in there, and I was just noticing a little while ago, just, you know, going on Twitter, videos of 7 a.m. when the gates open and on Alabama Day today, and people just charging in, getting their picnic tables, getting everything set up on a day where, you know, the forecast is a little bit shaky. Nobody cares. They want to be at Saratoga, and that's what's so cool about it. I always start the day after I give the first set of changes by, as I always say, doing my walk, where I'll just kind of amble around the track a little bit and say hi to people and, you know, take some pictures and just chat and just, you don't get that anywhere else. I mean, nowhere else I've been, at least, and to me that's what it's all about. I mean, Saratoga would be nothing without the fans that we have here, and it's what makes me want to go to work every day and have a good time, and I love every bit of it.
Yeah, you gotta see it, dude. Larry walks around shaking babies and kissing hands. I mean, shaking hands and kissing babies. It's quite a scene. Giving out $20 bills, literally giving out $20 bills to the fans. Larry actually made. Well, you tell us, Larry. Larry has $20 bills right now.
Well, Andy Serling has always accused me of handing out $20 bills while I was doing my walk. So, our sound man at Saratoga, Pat, took a photo of me in the announcer's booth and put it on a fake $20 bill with the new 1863 club on the back. So he ordered a bunch of them. So I was literally handing them out the other day and came on to the Talking Horses set and gave Andy and the Big A each a 20, much to Andy's dismay. You could tell he was very upset about it. But, you know, it's part of the fun of this whole place. You just can't stop having a good time here.
That's great, and I'm sure the fans really appreciate that. I know there's a lot of people that look forward to having a beer with you after the races, and I see the tweets sometimes, you know, come down, we've got a beer waiting for you or whatever, and you actually go and join those people and shoot the breeze with them, and I think that's so unique. I mean, I've been going to the races for a long, long time. I've never known any announcer to do that except for you, and I think that's fantastic.
Well, the other day I actually had a guy tweeted me and said, can you come down to my table at the very top of the stretch where the picnic tables at the the extreme top of the stretch, I have a baseball I want you to sign. And so I went and tracked him down, and it's the first time I've ever signed a baseball before, and he put it on his showcase at home right next to Dan Plesac, which I thought was pretty funny, since he actually knew how to sign a baseball. I wasn't too sure how to do it. It was a little awkward, but it's just another Saratoga moment, you know?
That's great.
Fellow lefty Dan Plesac.
Yeah, two lefties, me and him.
Yeah. If you think Andy was mad about the 20s, you should have seen how mad I was when Willie Tatella wouldn't take it for me to make a cold pick three later on that day. Not happy at all. So, before we let you go, you get to call some of the best horses and some of the best races in the country throughout the year, right? You get to call the Triple Crown, the Breeders' Cup, but getting to know you as well as I have, you have more fun with some of your other calls, and namely two. I know you were a little upset earlier this week when, hey, it's Enrico Palazzo, got the money at Finger Lakes, and your man Tony Kahlo got to give the call instead of you. And you turned to me and said, I'm Elmer J. Fudd, could make up for it Friday. And sure enough, owned by my good friends Mike and Libby Imperial. Libby, of course, the president of the BCCA. We have their big charity event coming up Thursday night at Saratoga National over at Prime. There's still tickets available, bcca.org. But you got the call on Elmer J. Fudd and had a ton of fun with it yesterday when he won the finale here at Saratoga.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Unfortunately, it was the last race, and it started to rain, so I think a lot of people that were at the track that day missed it. They had already headed for the exits, but we had a good time with I'm Elmer J. Fudd trying to, you know, get all the W's you could in there, chasing the Wascally Weeder and, you know, all that good stuff, and ended it with That's All Folks, which I thought worked out pretty well. So I was glad Elmer ran well, because he didn't 5 days earlier. You know, he disappointed me, but he came back. I mean, it was great, but I'm still furious about Enrico Palazzo, you know, running up at Finger Lakes. You know, he's my favorite horse name around, because I'm an absolute Naked Gun airplane fanatic.
And who trained Elmer J. Fudd?
Woody Rodriguez.
that was the best part of the whole thing. When you popped off with that, I go, wow, that's really cool.
He was a good price too, wasn't he, Larry?
Yeah, he was 11-1.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The one and only Larry Comas. Larry, thanks for some time this morning. Congratulations on being the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris.
What do I get? Any prizes or anything?
You, like all of our other guests this morning, will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. In fact, you got a wake-up call from Mike from Embrace the Race during sales week. So you already got your prize from Embrace the Race, really.
Perfect.
Terrific. Thanks, Larry. We'll talk to you later.
You got it, guys. See ya. See you out there.
All right. The one and only, the incomparable Larry Comas. Fun first hour in the books. Dallas Stewart up next, followed by Tom Robbins and Lafitte Pinkai. We're back with hour two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tacitus is there. And then tacks between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th. And it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant. But Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Stride to stride, a furlong to run. One bad boy, never looked better, and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, live at Saratoga from Section B, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch to vacationing Mike Penna. Down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, along with our producer, Lee Delapina. Big day here at Saratoga. It's Alabama Day. It's the biggest day of the Del Mar Meet. Pacific Classic comes your way, 6:30 local time, about 9:30 here on the East Coast. $1 million on the line, and plenty of East, I won't say East Coast, but Eastern Flair. The 3-1 morning line favorite, Seeking the Soul, heads out to where the turf meets the surf. He'll run at the Del Mar Oval for the first time, and nice enough to join us now, bright and early, out on the left coast, is his trainer, Dallas Stewart. Dallas, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. I'd have to imagine you're normally up even earlier than this when you're back in Kentucky in the fairgrounds.
Yeah, correct. You don't get much sleep when you're a horse trainer, I can tell you that.
You don't get much of anything else when you're a horse trainer besides headaches. But I guess when you walk into the barn and see a horse like Seeking the Soul, kind of makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's a pretty unique horse. You know, he's six now, so he's been with us for 4 years, and maybe we're just getting started with him. You never know.
Well, you've had
you have horse. Go ahead, dude. I'm sorry.
You've had a nice plan with them all year long, and it seems like it's being executed to perfection. Was this race on your radar when you began the year?
Well, you know, after he won the Stephen Foster, you know, we knew we needed one more race before the Classic. And last year he went to Saratoga, he didn't do very well. So I was like, well, maybe we shouldn't go back there. We have another option. Weather's good. Track's good. Let's go to Del Mar. So here we are.
You talk about having him for so long now. He's been in the barn for 4 years. Does that make your job with a horse like him any easier? Is he, you know, the proverbial part of the family at this point? When you walk in, you're just so used to seeing him there that you just know what to do with him?
Well, he's a unique horse, I can tell you that. He makes his presence known when he's in the stall, when he's in the shed row, out on the racetrack. You know, his races have been exciting. You know, it's an exciting thing for Chuck Hippie. He owns him. He bred the horse. He's got the mom and the daddy and everybody. So he's been an exciting horse for the whole owner, trainer, rider, everybody. Sure has.
You got that elusive grade one with him back in the Clark in 2017. You're not afraid to run him, though, in other spots. I think a lot of trainers, once they grab that grade one glory with a horse, they want to keep him in that competition. You don't seem to really let that bother you. You ran him in the Schaefer, you ran him in the Ack-Ack. Is he the kind of horse where you don't worry too much about that? You just have to keep him on some sort of a schedule, some sort of a game plan with
him? Well, yeah, it's all scheduling, you know. It's just what's up next as far as the Schaefer. He was coming off an injury, and we wanted a race that wasn't too tough on him. And, he ran great. He ran second. You know, and then he come back. We ran him a mile. He ran terrific. But it's just what's on the schedule, you know. So you just got to kind of plot it out that way.
You don't make too many trips out west, Dallas. You must really think highly of him and how he's doing. Talk about, it's been a couple of months now since the Foster. Talk about his win in the Foster and the couple of months since.
I mean, it was a terrific race, you know. Johnny gave him a great ride. He stalked him right, you know, he just stalked him to death, you know, and then made that kickoff turning at the eighth pole. And Johnny rides him great. Glad to have him today. It's a million-dollar race, California, so let's just hope he handles the track and see how he does.
He's been training really nicely at Churchill coming up to this.
Right.
It hasn't really had as strong his path, and that's you can't ask for more going into a million-dollar race.
Yeah, and we had good weather in Kentucky. We got lucky a lot of mornings. We only had a few warm ones, but he handles himself well. He handled just everything, the ship out here good. He's galloped good here. He feels good. He's eating good, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, those old horses, they get to Del Mar, and they get to feeling good. You know, I imagine it's the same in New Orleans, close to the ocean, and the negative ions in the air make them feel good, right. Make them feel younger. Has he showed you any signs of that when he got to California?
He just, you know, he's a happy horse all the time, so I haven't seen him. He was happy in Dubai. We didn't do very well, but he seemed happy there. He's on his toes. He's doing good. Like you said, the weather's terrific out here. It's nice and cool this morning, so I think it's all positive.
What worries you the most about that surface? Is it the surface itself, the short stretch? What is your biggest
anything,
concern?
You know, we haven't gotten beat yet, so... I worry about anything. Yeah.
You don't want to hear those.
I see Del Mar agrees with you as well, Dallas.
Well, we're going to find out here in a little while.
Del Mar was made for Dallas Stewart. He knows how to have a good time and he knows how to get a horse ready. So I think it's a town he would appreciate most of the time.
Let's go get him.
Dallas, you attribute that effort of the Woodward last year that much to the track that it made you think twice and then ultimately not pull the trigger about coming back for a race like the Whitney or the Woodward?
I mean, I don't know why it didn't run good. I thought about it all year long. I just couldn't come up with an answer. So I was like, well, we have another option. Well, maybe we should take that option. You know, it's just it's a plain ride east or it's a plain ride west. What you going to do? So we went with the west.
It's an interesting way to look at it. I don't think a lot of people, a lot of trainers ordinarily look at it that way. I think they just gravitate towards the East Coast. Was the money's just as green out there, and if you feel
you're
up against it.
Yeah, I mean, the Freedom Cup's out here, too, you know, so.
You've had some success at Del Mar in the Breeders' Cup.
Just the one. It was pretty good.
one's pretty good in my book.
Damn right.
When it's the Breeders' Cup distaff, one for one's just fun. People made a living off being just one for one in the Breeders' Cup for a long time, I can tell you that.
She ran great. She traveled out here. She was only here a short time, you know. And, I mean, she was really good. If you compare the two, I mean, she was just ready to win. You know, he's getting there. He's getting as good. I was thinking about it this morning. Is he as good as her? I mean, I don't know if he is, but he's getting there. If he's not, he's getting there. So if he comes up with a big race today, I mean, you got to feel real good about him in a classic, you know. So.
Wow, looking ahead already. You know, he's such a cool horse because he's earned almost $3.5 million, and
yep.
I don't want to say he's done it under the radar, but I don't think anybody would say how much. If you asked me how much money is Seeking the Soul made, I don't think I could have come close to $3 million.
If you called my wife, she would have told you.
That might be the best answer of all time.
Well, listen, guys, we've got to get busy and do a few things, so I hope you guys are doing well. And we're looking for a great race today. I hope you guys are doing well. Thank you all for everything, okay?
All right.
You got it. Thanks for some time this morning. We know you're busy. Dallas Stewart got Seeking the Soul. I'm going to talk to him for another 2 hours. He's got Seeking the Soul out there. You know, that's the truth, Drew. That wasn't a radio line. In a million years, you ever think Seeking the Soul made over $3 million?
No, I was handicapping the race and, of course, writing up the Pope Jude cheat and stuff, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I know he's a good horse, and I know he's, you know, won some big races and all of that, but that kind of surprised me a little bit. Yeah.
No, just the one grade one. I know a lot of that money came from the second place finish in the Pegasus this year. Over that sloppy track, he beat the Breeders' Cup winner from last year. Accelerate was second to City of Light, who won by almost 6 lengths. But you know, even if you knock that million off there, did you think he'd earn $2.5 million? I certainly didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he was at least a millionaire. But when you see the $3 million and change, you go, wow, that's pretty impressive. And you know, Dallas is one of those guys too. I think Dallas flies under the radar a lot, and I think. Therefore, his horse flies under the radar. But Dallas Stewart's one of the best trainers we have in the United States of America. And just because he, spends his winters in New Orleans and doesn't really promote himself in a huge way, or he's not flashy, and he's a flashy dresser. But I mean, he's just one of those guys that for some reason hasn't. Captured all the pundits and the photographers and all that stuff. So, he is a very good trainer. If you look at his overall record, his body of work, it's outstanding. And he's another graduate of, the Lucas School. So,
unbelievable, right? Think about all the guys Wayne cranked out over the years.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I just think sometimes Dallas gets the short shrift of those guys, but he has every bit of skill as the rest of the people that have worked for Wayne, and he's capable of winning any race on any day.
He's won 836 races in his career, good for over $51 million. Of course, Forever Unbridled leads his list of earners, Seeking the Soul. Macho again, most famously second to the great Rachel Alexandra 10 years ago in the Woodward Grade 1 winner, Unbridled the Lane. The much maligned, we've heard his name a lot lately in comparison to Tacitus. I think it's wrong, but my boy Dollar Bill is a millionaire. Tom's ready. I feel like Dallas has been a little more active this year. He's run 218 horses so far this year. I feel like that's a little more active than what he's what he's accustomed to doing. I don't know. That might just be. That might be wrong. I don't have to be right. But in all of last year, he only ran in all of last year, he only ran 237 horses, and here we are midway through August, and he's already run 215. And before that, even less, 152, 145, 174. So he's on pace to run the most horses he's run since 2008.
Well, that's not surprising because he's been doing good, and maybe people are beginning to notice, you know, what a good trainer he is. And, you know, he's a very pleasant guy to deal with, too. I mean, he's got a great manner about him and very, you know, as you would expect from somebody from New Orleans, very, you know, respectful person. So he's awesome, and I'm glad that he's having good success because he deserves it. He's a hardworking guy.
Yeah, he's been knocking it out of the park this year, and Seeking Soul certainly has helped. Got that grade 2 Stephen Foster under his belt last time. He'll try to take the grade 1 Pacific Classic a little later on this afternoon where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar. $1 million on the line. And I don't think we hear that enough from trainers, dude. It's a plain ride east or a plain ride west. He didn't like the way this horse ran in the Woodward last year enough to put him on the plain west.
Yeah. Well, there is something about Del Mar that horses seem to like. I mean, you very rarely find a horse that doesn't like Del Mar. And I really think the closeness to the ocean is a big deal. It really seems to perk those horses up, and it's noticeable. It's palpable when you bring them into Del Mar. They all seem to just feel a lot better. And I always liked going to Del Mar. So maybe it comes from the trainer on down, but I mean it's a really nice place to train a horse, and the weather's beautiful for the most part, you know, and the cool mornings, I think it makes a big difference, and of course anytime you're near the ocean, you have that sense of well-being. So
you hit me with that positive ions. I thought I changed the channel and turned on Bill Nye the Science Guy for a second.
Well, that's one of the big factors, and it's not only with humans. You know, President Kennedy gave a fantastic speech at the America's Cup 1 year, and he talked about the percentages of blood of salt in the blood and percentages of salt in seawater, and because we came from the sea, we're drawn back to the sea, and I think there's something to be said for all of that. I think when people are near the ocean, that's why oceanfront property is so valuable. People want to be there, and I'm sure horses want to be there as well.
Yeah, interesting. Well, from what everybody says, everybody wants to be at Del Mar. Dallas Stewart's there today. We'll see if he can get the grade 1 Pacific Classic with Seeking the Soul. It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Drivers hopefuls tax and endorsed Breeze at Saratoga. Randy Hill Stable, Reeves Thoroughbred Racing, Hugh Lynch, and Corms Racing Stables tax Breeze the half mile and a bullet 47-1 August 16th in preparation for the $1.25 million Run Happy Travers Stakes, a grade 1 at Saratoga Racecourse. Under jockey Gerard Ortiz Jr., the son of Arch broke off behind a workmate and was able to easily take a man down the lane despite encountering some unexpected traffic. We tucked him in behind a horse and we got some other company in the middle of it, and he went to the rail and just went right on about his business. I was really happy, trainer Danny Gargan said. Gerard said he's getting stronger and bigger and faster. We're really happy with how he's doing. He seems to be blossoming at just the right time. He was bucking and swirling, coming off the track. It was a big time work. He worked in 47 and galloped out three quarters and won 12-4. Last out in the July 27th Grade 2 Jim Dandy Stakes, Tax broke alertly but sat off the pace of Grade 1 Preakness Stakes winner War of Will before taking command late in the turn and holding off Tacitus, who endured a difficult trip after stumbling at the gate. Godolphin's endorsed also breezed Friday morning over Saratoga's main track and is now targeting the Travers, trainer Karen McLaughlin said. endorsed a competitive second to highest honors in the July 26th Curling Stakes on an off track at the Spa, went 4 furlongs in 48-1. He worked really well and has been doing great since the Curling. At this time, we are pointing to the Travers as long as he drops well tomorrow, McLaughlin said. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Have the latest racing, breeding, sales, industry news, analysis, entries, results, race replay videos, and more right at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone. It's updated throughout the day or delivered to you in a daily email, or you can listen on your Alexa devices. They're all free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or to sign up today. Also worth noting, Joel Rosario, who's a board-endorsed comeback allowance victory 2 starts back, will be back in the saddle now that game winner's not coming for the Travers.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, Joel Rosario back aboard. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, the Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales, features the Alabama Stakes, and we'll talk to Tom Robbins, the Executive Vice President of Racing and Industry Relations, out at Del Mar. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blauen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Warfront, a leading sire on all surfaces and all fronts. His recent Grade 1 winners include Omaha Beach, Homesman, Fog of War, Lancaster Bomber, and European champion U.S. Navy Flag. Plus, Preakness Stakes winner War of Will. And these recent group and graded winners. Sire of the highest price yearling sold in North America in 2018, this son of Danzig continues to dominate both on the track and in the sales room. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
The National HPPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HPPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HPPA is doing for you.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Now Dunbar Road finds herself in last, but she's only 2.5 lengths behind, and she's full of run at this stage as they come toward the top of the stretch. Jeltrin has taken the lead. It is Jeltrin in front as they turn for home. On the inside, Classic Fit will cut the corner in second. Dunbar Road now swings up outside of them. Inside, Cassie Dreamer and Saftis down toward the rail. There's a furlong to run, and here's Dunbar Road with her run now, and she just takes off. Dunbar Road to the front. Classic Fit back into second, and then comes Jeltrin in third. It is Dunbar Road and Jose Ortiz to win the Mother Goose by 2.5 lengths. And then it was Classic Fit, followed by Jeltrin, Cassie's Dreamer, and a very unlucky Safta.
Larry Comas was on the call of the Mother Goose down at Belmont Park, Dunbar Road. Man, if she gets through earlier, it might have been a daylight score. She had to settle for 2.5 lengths, enough to make her the morning line favorite for this Alabama presented by Naira Betts later on this afternoon here at the Spa. You'll hear it on Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org. 5 to 6, Sirius XM 156. Stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net. Mike Beer and I have the Lake Placid as well as the Grade 1 Alabama. And speaking of the Alabama, that is today's Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller.
Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner.
Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
All right, Pontiff, we'll take a look. We could have had a lot of Philly races today. All three stakes are for the Phillies here at the Spa. The Alabama, of course, the Grade 1, and it's one of those watermarks of the Saratoga season. So, field of 9, Chad Brown, even though it's not on the turf, has the morning line favorite with Dunbar Road. Does this race go through Dunbar Road today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's been outstanding. Last two races have been just excellent. Peter Brandt, he wins them all. The guy's in Fuego. He was last year. He's kept it going this year. There's really nobody in here that comes close to what she's done, except for Point of Honor, who's a pretty nice filly herself, a daughter of Curlin. Ran second to Garana last time out, and you know, she looks like she's the main competition, but both of those fillies are outstanding.
Yeah. I want to see if Champagne Anyone can go back to her off the pace ways. She kind of was forced into chasing Guarana. They kind of left out of there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 last time, and Point of Honor was the beneficiary of being in the 5-hole and allowing to drop back into last and making the one run. I would much rather see Champagne Anyone follow that trip. I don't think... See, I'm more... You and I, we kind of agree on this. I know Point of Honor's run comparable speed figures, maybe even a little higher speed figures than Dunbar Road. But I would have to assume, based on what I saw last time, that Dunbar Road is just going to go crazy. Go crazy, folks. At the mile and a quarter, it certainly seems like Jose's looking forward to riding her at a mile and a quarter. And I just think she's ready to roll at the mile and a quarter.
Yeah, she's got the right style, and Jose indicated that she's so laid back that, you know, he thinks she'll handle it without any problem. And I don't think that's a major question. And Point of Honor certainly bred to get the distance, and she looks like the kind of filly that is a little bit relaxed, too. She's never in a big rush. So I think those two are a good matchup, but I would have to give the edge to Dunbar Road.
All right. Well, Dunbar Road takes on Point of Honor and 7 others. 5:59. It's the Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales. Tom Robbins is on the line. Before we get to Tom, hear a few words from our friends over at Paramount Sales.
Paramount Sales has long been a perennial leading consignor in North America. Since their inception in 2001, Paramount has sold many sale toppers and has been at or near the top of every sale in which they've consigned horses by average. Recent greatest stakes winning graduates include Gormley.
Gormley takes the lead.
Instagram.
Instagram could not have been more impressive.
Bulletin.
Bulletin is a Breeders' Cup winner.
And Bourbon Resolution.
Bourbon Resolution is long gone.
Learn more at ParamountSales.net.
All right. Nice enough to join us now from Del Mar. The busiest day of the season, Pacific Classic Day, is the Executive Vice President of Racing and Industry Relations, our friend Tom Robbins. Hey, Tom, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time early on a busy morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, this is our big day of the meet. And we're all very much looking forward to it.
You able to scrap Craig Dado down. I know he's pumped up for Pacific Classic Day. He starts talking about it when we first bring up the meet when you guys open up in mid-July.
Yeah, no, it's the thing that we all look forward to, and this year especially. We moved a few stakes races around, running five graded races, which we haven't done ever before, and we're very pleased with how they came out and how the entire card came out.
Yeah, it's an excellent
Talk about that.
Card. Unbelievable. You guys did a great job.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy out here, as you guys know. So, we're past the halfway mark for our meet, and we set out to sort of restore some normalcy to California, to Southern California, after what occurred early in the year at Santa Anita. And we've all been, our management team has been very pleased with how things have unfolded, knowing that it wasn't going to be easy. But, you know, it's been quite an adventure, and we hope once we finish our meet and we head back north to Santa Anita that things also return to some normalcy as well.
Do you guys feel that pressure, Tom, with everything that's happened this year? I mean, is you know, do you guys really feel like it's kind of on your shoulders a little bit to I don't want to say right the ship, but to try to bring some normalcy back to one of the more illustrious circuits in horse racing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was an advantage to us racing in the summer in that we're watching very closely how things developed and unfolded, unfortunately, at Santa Anita. So that's the advantage that we have. Our team at Del Mar is a very thoughtful group, and we had many meetings to discuss how best to proceed, how best to move this thing forward, and met multiple times with the horsemen. Our racing secretary, David Jerkins, is, I think, the best there is. And the communication that he had with individuals and individuals that left California, there was such great uncertainty whether racing was going to continue. You know, there were points where Santa Anita was possibly going to shut down. Nobody really had any true answers on how things are going to move forward. And, it was a lot of the grassroots one-on-one discussions with trainers and owners that had taken horses out and trying to calm the waters as best we could. And, got many of them back, certainly not all of them. We knew we were going to be in a difficult, situation with a population, a horse population in Southern California that was down by about 10-15%. So, we did feel the pressure. I'd be lying if I said we didn't, business as usual sort of thing. You know, we had several medication changes that the horsemen were getting used to, how it was going to affect our racing program was a big question. But our goal was to run 5 days a week as we've done in the past. And not only, support and get support from our horsemen, but for the people that work in the industry, the people that were out of work basically for the whole month of March. And when Santa Anita resumed, they went to 3-day race weeks for the last 2 months and struggled at that. So we were keenly aware of the challenges that we were going to face. And like I said, more than halfway done, I think we pulled it off quite well.
You know, you and I go back a long ways, and we've seen a lot of things in racing. We're kind of like that insurance commercial. We've seen a lot of things, and there's been situations like this before at Del Mar too. So it's not an unprecedented thing, but it's something that's always in the back of your mind whenever a race meet opens or a situation arises like what happened at Santa Anita. You can't help but think about it on a regular basis, and I think everybody at Del Mar has always put their best foot forward for the industry, and I think that's where you guys excel. You're one of the industry leaders always, and it's absolutely shown this meeting.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jude. Our management team is superb, and people that have been in the game for a long time, so they've been through situations like this and know how to react and not to panic, you know, because something happens, you do something else that puts you a little bit deeper into the hole that you're trying to dig out of. So, no, you're right, and there's something to say for, you know, people that have been around, that have been through these battles, that can appreciate what's going on, and again, not to overreact, but we've had a lot of changes, and I can't say enough about our horsemen too that are participating, especially during our meet, that have embraced a lot of these things. We have more eyes looking at horses and more veterinarians on our staff, and we're doing our best to keep everybody safe and sound, and so far it's been pretty good.
Talking with Tom Robbins from Del Mar. Tom, what was the decision? What went into the decision to put all the five graded stakes onto the one card today?
I think we always felt this was a strong day, but we just kind of wanted to get it over the hump and grouping some of these races. Sometimes you can attract horses from other parts of the country, not just with one race, but with a couple races. And we're thrilled. We have a program called Ship and Win that we started about 10 years ago that, you know, really rewards owners for bringing horses from outside of California to Del Mar. It's a pretty simple program. You made your last start outside of California and haven't started in California in the last 12 months. And we pay the owner a reward for that. So today we have 19 what we call Ship and Win horses participating. So that's been successful. The stakes races, you know, we're getting, I think, 14 out of the 19 horses are running in stakes races. So, you know, it says a lot for, I think, people from all over the country. Certainly the Pacific Classic, the older route and dirt division, isn't the strongest that it's been. And when McKinsey went east, I think others started to look west. So, you know, I think we're the beneficiaries of that.
Yeah, Racing Office did a fantastic job putting this card together today. You guys deserve a ton of credit. Were you ready? If Santa Anita had closed, and thankfully it didn't get to that, were you guys ready to jump in and take some of those dates?
Well, no. Unfortunately, we can't. Our facility is state-owned, and we don't have anything to do with we lease it. The Del Mar Thoroughbred Club actually leases the facility to run these two race meets, the summer meet and the fall meet. And there are, as Jude will tell you, there are multiple events that go on here that were scheduled, including one of the biggest state fairs in the country, the San Diego County Fair, that's located at our facility, that actually closes on July 4th. And with our race meet opening on July 17th, Jude's well aware of the transition that takes place to get it back to looking like a racetrack after the fair is over. So we have a very good relationship with our landlords, the 22nd District Agricultural, and we work very closely with them, and they were well aware of what's going on. So we had those discussions, but we were happy to see racing continue at Santa Anita. We're thrilled to have the Breeders' Cup show their confidence at Santa Anita and continue, you know, with their program of holding the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita this year. And we were confident, and not only did we were meeting with the folks in Sacramento that make a lot of these decisions, or at least were involved in the input on what was going on at Santa Anita, but we were meeting with the folks at Santa Anita as well, to try to assist in any way we could to get them through this period. It wasn't easy, and as I said, there is a great deal of teamwork, and people say, well, you compete with Santa Anita. We don't, and I keep stressing that if Santa Anita doesn't do well, then Del Mar's not going to do well, and vice versa. So they're kind of our partners, so to speak, and we hope that things are better as the horsemen and horses return 2 hours north to Santa Anita for the fall meet. You know, it's critically important. They race about three times as many days during the year as Del Mar does, and so it's, you know, it's hugely important for the entire industry to, you know, to succeed. So we stand ready to assist in any way we can, and it's critically important for this to work right in California.
Well, you guys do a great job out there, Tom. Thanks for everything. Thanks for your support here at HRRN. Have a great Pacific Classic day. Hope it goes as well as the rest of the meet.
Really appreciate it.
All right, Tom Robbins from Del Mar. We'll take a break when we come back. Lafitte Pinkai, he's ready to roll here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 and 3 quarter length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Bloods sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Step outside to a front-row seat for world-class racing or enjoy the view from towering windows in a gorgeous space. What better way to spend an afternoon than with friends, a craft beer, local cuisine, and a winning ticket? Play it safe on a favorite or take a chance on a long shot. Odds are you're going to have a fabulous time. Live racing Thursday through Sunday, post time 1:10 p.m.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Zapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one three-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
I'm 3-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Three quarters, 112.43, and they're into the stretch, and it's Tex in front. Global Campaign, War of Will on the inside. Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy. Tacitus was second, and then it was Global Campaign, Laughing Fox, and War of Will, and a final time of 149.28.
It was Tacitus and Tax in the Wood Memorial. It was Tax and Tacitus in the Jim Dandy. What will it be next Saturday in the Grade 1 Run Happy 150th running of the Travers? We'll find out a week from today as we start to wrap up the Saratoga meet. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A, the Pontiff. We are joined now by the one and only Lafitte Pinkai. He's spending his first full summer here at the spa as the host of Saratoga Live for the New York Racing Association. What's happening, my man?
How you doing?
We're doing all right.
This, your spot here.
It's pretty good, awesome, right?
Gorgeous view. What a morning.
I have people come up here. I don't think Jude, who's down in Lexington, has ever seen it happen, but I've gotten offers of up to $1,000 for a Saturday on this spot.
And you've accepted?
I have not accepted it.
What is wrong with you?
Wink, wink. No, I haven't accepted it. It's kind of tough to accept that. But yeah, Jude Feld is down in Lexington.
I'd offer you twice that, but I've got my, own.
You have your own.
Right. You know, about 100 yards from here.
Well, yeah, so you,
right, like at the, about the eighth pole?
Yeah.
Where our set is? Yeah.
So yeah, the Fox Naira set's at the eighth pole. I'm between the 16th pole at the wire.
You have a better view of the finish.
I do. In fact, back in 2015, and Jude was here, my girlfriend Christine got a great picture of Keen Ice just as he was going by American Pharoah. It literally happened right in front of where we're sitting.
This place was stunned, just shocked on that afternoon. What I remember most about that meet was first opening day and the crowd clamoring, "We want Pharoah, we want Pharoah." They had the Ahmed Zayat fatheads, they had the Pharoah fatheads, they had the Bob Baffert fatheads, and in the end they got their wish. The Triple Crown winner competed here. The Faratoga, it was Faratoga, not Saratoga. There was 50,000 here, and I just remember, just, you know, afterwards, 50,000 shocked racing fans walking around seeing, you know, this horse who looked so unbeatable, and that stigma of Saratoga once again, you know, rearing its head. And this place hasn't been kind to Triple Crown winners over the years.
It has not.
How about the 20,000 people on Friday before watching him gallop?
That is that Jude?
Yeah, that's Jude.
That's Jude.
What's going on, Jude? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Good. I'm great. Where else would you see 20,000 show up to watch a horse gallop? Even working to watch a horse gallop, and I guess that's part of the theory as to why American Pharoah was defeated in the Travers, not to mention that torrid middle part of the race when he hooked up with Frosted, or Frosted hooked up with him, but that he got so revved up in front of that big crowd that maybe he expended a little too much energy.
Almost like a two-minute lick that Friday.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit like
to watch a horse gallop.
I'm a little bit amazing, like a relief pitcher. I don't remember the bad stuff like him getting beat, but I do remember the gallop, and I remember the sale and like a crew from NBC chasing Baffert around the sale, to the point where he saw the headset empty on our location at the Keeneland sale, and he sat down and put on the headphones and talked to us for like 25 minutes. You know, unannounced, unscripted, just Bob Baffert for the half an hour. And it was like one of the greatest interviews of all time, because he would just kept talking. He didn't want to be interviewed on camera. So it was such a classic moment, you know, and it turned out to be just a really good interview. He was really candid, and we talked about a lot of things. So those are the two things that I remember from that really aren't particularly racing related, but they are in kind of a perverted sense, you know.
Bob Baffert unplugged.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure that was awesome. Yeah.
This is your first full meet up here, correct?
First full meet. I've been for the NBC coverage over the last 10 years. You fly in on a Thursday and on the backside Friday morning, and meetings that afternoon, execute the show Saturday, and then you're gone Sunday. But being here the entire meet. I left L.A. the 4th of July, went straight to Belmont. We had the Stars and Stripes program on the 6th, and as opposed to going all the way back to California, went straight here. And that's a long time to be gone from home, but it's exceeded expectation. It's been so much fun, an incredible, incredible experience. And where has the summer gone? I can't believe it's Alabama Day.
Unbelievable. So you're one of the... So you're someone who we can ask this question... At least I'm very cynical. I don't trust too many people.
I got you.
I would trust your answer.
Yes.
Del Mar or Saratoga?
Like, why can't we love both?
We can. We can.
I don't know when
I
it
need
became
an answer, Lafitte.
But the racing's better here. No question.
Okay.
The racing's much better here. But if you were going to spend a week on vacation,
it's a different life.
Go to Del Mar, man.
It's a different life.
It's absolutely. But why? I don't know if this is a social media thing. I'm not going to go political.
It is.
But I don't know if we've become just more divided overall. When did this East Coast, West Coast, Del Mar, Saratoga thing go Biggie Tupac?
Like, well, I was just going to say, at Biggie Tupac, that's when it
Why
happened.
Can't we love both? They're both awesome. They both have different things to offer. But having spent every summer in Del Mar till I was, I don't know, you know, 18, 19, you know, for me as a kid growing up, it didn't feel like summer started until we were at Del Mar.
Okay, that's interesting.
And here, but I didn't, as a kid, I wasn't, it was the beach. That's what I was excited about. I didn't care about the racing until a little bit later on. But now, you know, getting to work in the industry and appreciating the racing, the idea that, you know, on a random Wednesday in a fourth race, I don't know, you might see a couple of horses that might wind up running in next year's Kentucky Oaks and next year's Kentucky Derby. Every day is special. Every day is a stakes race. And I don't think I'd say this if I wasn't working here. This is the greatest individual race meet in North America.
Yeah, talking about Lafitte Pincay.
But the tacos are better in Southern California around Del Mar.
Cantina's tacos are pretty good, but this is what Jude's told me the same thing.
No, no, no.
Jude's tacos told me the tacos better. Are better.
You can always trust a fat guy to tell you where the best food is.
These are terrible.
Lafitte is definitely the odd man out in that conversation.
Yeah, there's no question.
In this triumvirate, I can tell you that.
If they're picking a guy for
yeah, but
a
I can
covers.
See where the 40 days up here gets to you, though. I can see where that... Woody Stevens said it's not the 40 days, it's the 40 nights,
yeah,
right?
My best friend, Pat Conlon, one of my best friends, Pat Conlon, has tried to take that as his own, but I believe that was Woody.
Woody.
Yeah. And it wasn't 40 back then, I can tell you that. It was, this has really grown 2 days off tremendous. You've never experienced the 6 here. You've experienced
I
it
can't
out there.
Imagine. So
yeah,
that's one of the biggest. So we're on, when we do an NBC show, we're here prepping for a couple of days, and it's a 1 hour, it's a 2 hour show. We're on 3 hours a day. We have two different teams, essentially, but the coverage is, on average, about 6 hours a day. So the guys here, this crew, has done such a good job. The behind-the-scenes, everyone here working at NYRA and pulling off these Fox Sports 2 and FS1 shows, of course, the Travers will be on Fox. The work that goes in for that much live coverage, so I guess that's the blessing in disguise. There's so much preparation that has to go into these longer shows. I don't have as much time to be gallivanting around Saratoga that I probably otherwise would be doing.
What's been your most memorable meet moment on the track so far this meet?
This meet, the first image that comes to mind is it was Whitney Day, the test, which I think we'd be, you know, hard pressed to find a better race of the meet with the Covfefe and Serengeti Empress, just to borrow a Tom Durkin-ism, a spellbinding stretch drive. And then the raw emotion from Bob Baffert after the Whitney, with Mackenzie and a horse that, you know, named after his close childhood friend, Brad Mackenzie, who Bob Baffert's mother would refer to as her other son. That is as real and candid and emotional as I've ever seen Bob Baffert after a race. And I think for me, thus far, that's the day in the two races that
come to mind. On a day where we're celebrating a woman who pretty much, I mean, not only the racing, but pretty much kept this town alive.
See that? I didn't know all
of
that.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, sometimes these things we say about people once they're gone, it's hyperbole. You know,
it kind of sucks that we have to wait till it's gone, right?
Yeah. Now, you know, such a, you know, in this case, and it was being explained, and you know what Mary Lee Whitney is, and you understand she was regarded as the queen of Saratoga and everything that she did for the town, but the idea that she actually, like, responsible for saving racing here at Saratoga, that I didn't know that, and so much we've learned since she's passed in that sense of the first Whitney since she passed, it just being a couple of weeks prior, but it really felt more like, as opposed to people walking around it in mourning and sorrow the lot, like it was, it's a celebration of life and what a life she lived.
Yeah, it was great. All right, well, we got to let you go.
That was
one
quick.
More break. I know. Man. I know. We'll do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to get to a production meeting. We got to get to our last break. This was a lot of fun.
It was great.
We still got to grab dinner before
the
meet's over. We got a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And you and Larry, that actually might have been the highlight. I don't know, forget about Mackenzie and Covfefe and Serengeti Empress. Maybe the highlight was you and Larry with doing M&M. That was awesome.
It was pretty good. Pretty memorable. If I do say so myself, we were pretty awesome.
it was
pretty good. Buffy Pink High.
I gotta change that to your ringtone.
Keep it. That might be a good idea. I just got a new phone.
I'm gonna change that to your ringtone.
I'll have to have Lee cut it up.
Every time you call, I'm gonna hear you. People act like you've never seen a white person before. Every time you call.
One more break. We'll let Lafitte go. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Airdrie Studs' summer front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, summer front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs' summer front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Power. Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pull. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4/5, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu. Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. As we get ready to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. How are we racing today, Jude?
What do you mean?
We're going to be home. We're going out to the race. We're going out to the track. We're going to simulcast center. What are we doing?
Oh, home. Definitely.
Okay. It's good?
Yeah. Yeah. The bar's like three steps to my right. And
nice.
You know, I can.
Somebody left a bottle of Grand Marnier, like an airplane bottle of Grand Marnier, on my set this morning.
Nice.
I mean, is it nice? I mean, it's kind of mysterious. Plus, the bottle looks like the bottle that Arya had to kill the actress. And see, I wanted nothing to do with it. I will not touch this thing.
Okay. Well, throw in the can if you think it's suspicious.
Yeah. It's just, listen, the way I went the last few days, any kind of bottle up here is suspicious.
There's like a half a gallon of Grand Marnier in the liquor cabinet at the house anyway, so.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Exactly. I still got to finish the rum.
Yeah, don't
leave it. It survived like a whole 10 days without you guys here.
Don't leave it behind.
Oh, believe me, there'll be no bottle left behind. I promise you that. I don't think there's any kind of charity for that, but I will promise you there'll be no bottle left behind. The Big A leaves no bottle left behind or unturned. Fun show. Thanks to everybody this morning. Again, everybody here on the Equine Forum this morning. We'll get some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. If you're in the area, head over to Broadway. Take a look into the new digs for Embrace the Race here at Saratoga. Amazingly, it's scheduled to be last equine forum from the meet. I'm sure I'll do a hit with you guys next week, but looks like the sun's trying to peek out. Some of the clouds have burned off. We got some blue sky in front of us now. The radar looks a little more favorable than it did earlier today, so hopefully the rain stays away or, at the very least, hooks around the old spa. We look forward to a fantastic day of racing. It's not over with yet here on HRN. The Equine Forum's wrapping up, but we'll be back at 5. Mike Beer will join me for the Lake Placid and the Alabama. Saturdays in Saratoga, presented by VisitBarbados.org, Sirius 156, XM 156, HorseRacingRadio.net. Great job as always, Jude.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you Wednesday.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, on behalf of Jude and Lee, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you win all your photo finishes. I'll talk to you at 5. Got something to tell him, Jude?
Good night, Barbados.